Okay, you know what? When we do mashup swag,
yeah, we're doing...
I get all of the money from the mugs.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. No, you
don't.
You mocked the mugs.
I've made mugs
don't mock the
relevant
mugs.
By talking
hashtag
about it.
Don't mock the mugs.
No, hashtag
mug mucker.
Mug mucker.
Yeah, and here we go.
Well, I was going to say it, but as usual, you just step all over me.
I was going
to
say
I'm
it
rude,
right
so I get credit for everything.
Hey, welcome back to Even More Mashed Up. We're a podcast from Misericordia University. Two professors talking about all things pop culture. I'm Alan.
And I'm Patrick.
Yeah, that was great.
That was really terrible. Yeah, that
should we start again?
I'm not sure that
worked
out. No, okay.
You don't get was... this isn't a TV show, so you don't get.
Well,
Richard
was shouting directions at me, but I couldn't see him at the same time.
You couldn't hear me, but I was shouting directions.
Yeah.
So anyway, what are we talking about
today? We're talking about A Quiet Place, if you couldn't tell from that brilliantly conceptual opening.
That was good.
That you literally forgot like halfway through what we say every show.
No, I was good, but Rich was in my ear. It made it hard
again,
to focus.
I motioned lean back away from the mic because I can hear every time you spit on it.
Well, that's even better because in the horror film, you spit. You know, we've talked about horror films a lot.
Horror.
We've talked about a lot of horror films on this podcast. But today,
enunciation is key.
But today, we will do a horror film.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
yes.
Got to get that second
done with the horror films. Now to the horror films.
The horror film, A Quiet Place, is a very different movie.
Maybe more interesting.
Wow. Rich didn't even see it, and he's trashing the movie already.
Right. Well, I mean, how would he see it? There was no one to take him.
That's right.
Exactly.
So, so
how long did you stand at the bottom of the escalator, hoping somebody would pay because you just looked sad?
He just
an uncomfortable amount of time.
Will someone pay for my movie, please?
And
buy popcorn
and
for yourself?
When it comes to popcorn, Rich is somewhat like the aliens.
Yes. Yeah.
They hunt by sound. Rich hunts by food.
Yes.
Yeah. I hunt by food as opposed to, you know, hunting by water.
So, yeah, we're talking about A Quiet Place.
Yes, we are.
The latest sort of hit box office, low-budget horror film.
Yeah, yeah. All of these things are true.
Where would you like to start?
Do we have a choice?
Are we going to start with numbers?
Numbers!
I've
got numbers.
Okay, you want to give them to us?
I do. You're going to like these.
I find that unlikely.
So according to Box Office Mojo...
The Mojo.
A Quiet Place is looking to be Paramount's highest grossing domestic release since... Wait for it.
Yeah.
Star Trek Beyond.
Really?
Which says a lot about, none of it good, how Paramount's been doing lately.
Boy, they've been on a dry spell.
Yeah, like when I read that, I was like, that can't be true.
Wait, which one is Star Trek Beyond?
Is that the one with the motorcycle?
Yes, the one with the motorcycle. Right.
That is the worst climax to a film that I have ever seen.
Mm. It was not.
Period.
Great.
Yeah.
So.
All right, well, there's a number for us. Are we done?
No, I got more numbers.
No.
It currently sits 13th. On Box Office Mojo's list of horror/supernatural films.
That's the perfect place for a horror film to
what
be.
What I found really interesting. This was interesting. And keep in mind that this is unadjusted dollars.
It wasn't really interesting.
Because number one is it.
I find the unadjusted dollars completely uninteresting.
But this is going to be interesting because number one is it.
Okay.
Number two is The Sixth Sense.
Yes.
And number three in unadjusted dollars is 1973's The Exorcist.
Wow.
Which means Exorcist has got to be number one when you do adjustment four.
Man, that made a lot of money then.
That thing made a lot. Yeah, clearly that thing made a lot of money in its day.
Pretty well-known film.
So I've also got another list.
Oh, more numbers.
It comes in number 11.
It comes in number 11.
On Box Office Mojo's list.
Yes.
Of off-screen couples on screen.
Off-screen couples on screen. Because Jim and Pam are on screen?
Well, because... No, because it's not Jim and Pam. It's John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, who are the off-screen couple that are also in the movie.
Oh, they're a couple?
They're married.
They're married?
They have, like, two kids.
They have kids? Wow.
You're an idiot. So
does that really qualify me for idiocy?
Yes,
that I'm not reading.
He's very harsh today.
No,
first
like
literacy,
okay.
Then
I'm
that.
Not reading People magazine.
You're honestly telling.
Enough.
If you could honestly tell me you did not know they were married.
I did not know they were married.
I feel like you're.
I don't even know the people.
Really?
No.
Yeah, John Krasinski and Emily.
Why
Blunt
would
are
I know and or care?
Because you love Emily Blunt.
I do love Emily Blunt.
I assumed you would know.
That's only half the equation.
No. I love Emily Blunt as an actress. I'm married. Like I'm not really like. So
you're not looking.
You keep a list
of Hollywood starlets, and when they get married, you cross them off because they're no longer a possibility for you?
No, did you just ask them to make a list?
Physical list.
How long is this list?
Who's at the top of the list right now?
More of a mental running tally.
Who's the number one you're afraid she's going to get married next and you're going to lose?
I don't really think about
Taylor Swizzle?
No, mm-hmm. She's not getting married.
Good answer, though. Good answer.
That's the problem. She's not getting married. Yeah. Otherwise, you'd have a shot.
So, on the off-screen couples on-screen list.
Now I understand what you're talking about.
The top three films all come from one franchise. Can you guess what it is?
Boy, a married couple.
Not necessarily married. They were just they could be dating.
Well, but there are three of them.
Yes.
Because my first thought would be Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
No, they're in there, but they only have the one movie. But yeah, they're
right.
In the
Mr.
top
and Mrs.
10.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, right?
Yeah. Wait, you said they came from the same franchise,
yes.
Three of them?
From the same franchise.
Yes. A couple that was dating while they made these movies.
Twilight.
Yeah, it's Twilight.
Yeah.
Oh.
What's
I don't
your
know
name?
Why I thought that long
Kristen
about
Stewart,
it.
And Robert that Pattinson.
Dude. There you go.
Yeah, that guy and the other one.
Exactly. Boom. One more. Nailed it.
Got one more bit of trivia.
Wait, I thought we were doing numbers.
Well, it is numbers.
No, it's 100% not.
This is the worst of all worlds.
It's trivia.
You're
based
trivia
on numbers.
And numbers.
Yeah. So,
next we'll do math.
The top 10 off screen couples on screen.
Of the top 10 off screen, yes.
The top 10 movies, not top 10 couples.
Okay.
Because I'm in the duplicates. Only two of them are still a couple to this day.
Mm.
Can you guess which ones?
No, because I don't care.
John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, because
no,
I know
they were
they're
number
married
11.
With kids.
They were number 11.
Oh, drat.
Top 10.
So two of them are still married.
Yes. I'm not sure you're going to get either of these.
Well, Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins broke up.
Not on the list.
Yeah.
Who and who?
Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon.
Who's really? Tim Robbins?
Shawshank right. Redemption.
There's a new idiot
main
on the stage.
Yeah, yes.
No longer me.
I apologize.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, Richard won. Yeah. Once again, Richard beats you.
Remember the time Richard had to pick a woman that inspired him in the past?
Oh.
And he literally couldn't get past like 2012.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot.
I like
about
how you
that.
Assume that like I watch those kind of old movies.
You're a comm major who runs a production company.
And no point does that require film theory.
Have you gotten to the? Do you have any guesses?
I have
yet?
No idea.
You're just buying
I'm
time.
I'm just about ready to quit.
It's Sarah fine. Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr.
They're still married?
Yeah.
They got married?
From Scooby-Doo, which is the number 6 movie on this list.
Wow.
And wow. The other one is Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
They're still married.
Traffic. Yeah, they're still married.
Surprising.
He wanted her to play the mother role in Ant-Man and the Wasp, but instead Michelle Pfeiffer got the role.
Interesting.
So.
There you go.
Yeah, so the only other number I've got is that the movie only cost $17 million to make, and it's already made close to $100 million domestically.
You could kind of see that in the except for the ear monsters.
Yeah,
like there's not a lot of money
like
that goes into
like,
it.
But yeah, that like even that was a lower budget than I thought. I'm like, wow, $17
million. Yeah, $17 million. That's
so that movie is making a profit.
Good for Jim Halpert.
Yeah. So that's all I got for numbers.
All right. So
I do have Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh boy,
it's 95 with critics, 87 with audience. So. Overall, seems to be pretty across the board.
Interesting. I found a couple of reviews at the end I want to run some fair foul by that were a little more critical than 95.
I've got one critical fair foul as well. So,
but we thought we'd start very quickly with a discussion of our experiences with horror films in the past.
Yes, horror
right,
film.
Because I grew up in the 80s.
As did I.
Which means I watched
me
lot
too.
Of very poorly made, not very sophisticated horror films.
Such as?
Friday the 13th.
Oh, wait.
You know the makers of A Quiet Place learned from Friday the 13th. Yeah. Yes, that is what the sounds make.
Really good at that sound. That's why I like doing it.
You're okay.
I don't know what the creators of A Quiet Place learned.
Thank you for asking.
If you made it trivia, would you listen then?
They learned that audiences don't want too much backstory. They didn't want to learn about Jason's childhood.
No.
Which I will say is one of my favorite parts about this movie. Is that they don't waste my time explaining where the ear monsters came from.
They came from meteorites that crashed on Earth.
How do you know that?
Was it's in the newspaper.
In a little clip?
Yeah.
Right.
But again, one of the things
there's
they do
not
really
all
brilliantly.
This exposition
no,
about
No, it's one
it.
Of the things that yeah. the film does. Well, and again, given that there's very little dialogue, everything has to be pretty visual in the film.
Yeah.
If you're paying attention very early on when Krasinski's character is first in his little radio room, you see all the newspapers, and there's one that talks about meteorites crashing.
That paper, I saw others, but to me, I love that they don't waste our time.
No,
explaining that stuff.
Yeah, like, no, it's kind of hard. That would be a lot of signing.
Yeah, we don't need to know.
But yeah, that was one of the things I thought they did really well, was using sort of the visual element that the film had to rely on to communicate a lot of information that would otherwise have been like a heavy exposition dump.
Right.
So, but also stuff that if you don't catch it, doesn't necessarily ruin your enjoyment.
I don't think you need it.
Like, ultimately, and that's the thing. This is not a movie about where did the aliens come from? What are the aliens? Like, it's not about the aliens.
What do they want?
It's
about, how do we learn to communicate with them?
Yeah, it's about the family. Like, it's not about explaining where the aliens come from.
Which I liked.
Which I think is sort of a corollary to your point.
So, are you a Friday the 13th guy? I
not
watched
really.
Them.
I seem to recall seeing some of them, but I was more of a Nightmare on Elm Street.
That was next on my list.
In that my mom made us watch Nightmare on Elm Street because my mom loved...
Your mom made you?
Oh, she
loved,
that's,
particularly
it's an
interesting
me and my younger
story
sister. She loved to make us like watch horror films because she knew we hated them.
So,
but yeah.
That's very motherly.
Was that one of the movies where you would line all your stuffed animals up on the stairs like they were in a theater to watch?
No, you don't understand. We didn't actually show movies to the stuffed animals. We pretended like they were seeing a movie.
Boy, okay, so was that one of the movies you pretended
to? The stuffed animals were like, we're going to see a movie. Look at this beautiful tiered theater.
It was our stand.
Yeah, look at this
Patrick's
beautiful
not showing
tiered.
Us anything, I'll point out, but a blank wall.
Our imaginary theater had stadium seating well before real theaters. Like, we were very avant-garde then.
Did it have the safety features required?
No.
Best part of Nightmare on Elm Street was the appearance of which hair metal band, which had the theme for one of the sequels.
I've only seen like one and maybe two. I have not seen the entire.
So you haven't
Nightmare.
Seen the Dream Warriors?
No.
So you would have missed the Dawkins song?
Yes.
Dream Warriors.
Yes.
Classic.
So yeah, I mean, I did not. Yeah, so Nightmare on Elm Street is the one that I remember because Freddy Krueger always freaked me out. Yeah.
How about Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Never seen him.
Oh, Leatherface is creepy.
Yeah, never seen the Halloween series.
I've only seen that in passing. Chucky? Were you a Chucky guy?
Oh, I did see the first one.
I never
one.
Watched
Child's
a Chucky
Play.
Film.
I did see the first
never
one.
Never watched one. How about Leprechaun?
No, I have not seen the Leprechaun.
Waxwork?
Nope.
I'm out.
Oh, okay.
That's it. That's all I got.
Oh. Yeah. Have you seen Leprechaun? I think it was two. Which one was?
There's
one
confident I quit after the first one.
Because there's one called Leprechaun Back to the Hood.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that feels like I shouldn't go on several different levels.
Yeah, I've seen the
quality.
If you just watch the
racism.
Honest trailer for the Leprechaun series, it covers it in all the detail that it needs to.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a work of art.
It's a work of something.
I will say,
I'm not sure art is the word I would use.
If I transition to A Quiet Place, there was one thing that really disappointed me.
Mm-hmm.
The film's called A Quiet Place.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be a Quaker film.
Why would
you
think
that?
They're
not Quakers.
I don't, but it wasn't really a Quaker film.
Okay.
I don't think.
What would be a Quaker film?
I don't have any idea, but a film about,
says
you know,
the Quaker.
Quakers, somehow.
You can imagine they're Quakers.
I guess so. They didn't, I guess I was thinking of a different kind of quiet.
Okay.
Internal quiet.
Well, they were pretty internally
it's
quiet.
It's an hour and a half of meditation. That's the entire film.
It is basically an hour and a half, which I was surprised at how short it was.
It's kind of shocking.
Though it kind of makes sense, because I could imagine... For a horror film, it's probably hard to sustain that kind of terror and thrills and stuff for a long, stretched-out time.
Right.
And then you add the added dimension that there's basically no script in terms of dialogue, and I could see where this would get condensed very quickly.
Too much of it would be a bad thing, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of the pacing, and that felt about right to me.
It felt about right. There's a couple little bits that I felt were maybe not quite as developed as they could have been.
I think that's fair. And a couple bits that were maybe a little overdeveloped.
Oh, that'll be interesting. I'm not sure what that's referring to.
Okay.
So
where do you want to start on this smash horror film?
Overall thoughts?
Okay. So let me start here. On Sunday, I had a mega movie day.
Yeah, that's right, because you went and saw...
I went to see Love, Simon.
Yes.
And then had dinner with Vicky, and then the two of us went to see A Quiet Place, which is not really Vicky's kind of film.
Right, yeah, no, that's not. Though I don't know that Vicky would have had as much of a problem with it, because it was not nearly as scary and certainly not gory at all.
No, however, when the toddler plot, you know, spoiler alert, gets taken right away. Potentially somewhat disturbing scene to watch it.
Yeah, it's disturbing. Yeah, I did like the fact that they didn't really go like all slasher film gore fest. A lot of the violence
that's
you
one
see
of the strengths of this film. Yeah.
Is off screen and they kind of leave it to the imagination, which is even kind of scarier in some ways.
I think it's better that way. In fact, I would say the movie would be better with less of the alien.
Yeah.
I think the less you see,
yes,
the scarier it is.
Oh, always, yeah.
Because once you see the ear monster, you're kind of like, oh, it's aliens. You know, here, aliens are back.
It's giant ear aliens.
Yeah, yeah, except they hear better.
Ooh, earlians.
That's not bad.
Ear, hashtag earlians. I was trying to come up with a name for them, like, but all I could come up with before was earwigs, which seemed kind of lame, but I like earlians.
Earwigs. That's not bad. Ear today, gone tomorrow?
Oh, God.
No?
I ear no. you.
All right. So,
oh, we probably should not have opened up the pun box.
No, here was the thing about the contrast between the two films, which were, of course, totally different films. One's about a guy coming out in high school.
Right.
The other's about earlians. So, Love, Simon was so overplotted.
Okay.
And sort of chock full of soap opera kinds of over-the-top mm-hmm. drama that it made me appreciate A Quiet Place all the more.
Mm.
Because it was a very simple movie.
Very simple, very straightforward, like
And maybe that's not a terrible kind of movie to make nowadays.
No. It's a perfectly entertaining film.
There's a lot of good to say about Love, Simon.
Yeah.
But it is, I think, written more for the teenage set
Would you describe it as preachy?
I would say so, because he actually writes and you sort of hear what he's writing.
Like Jughead?
Yeah. Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never a good comparison to make.
Once you've been compared to Jughead, you're pretty much dead on this show.
Yeah, no. It's terrible.
Yeah. You would like to plop Jughead down right in the middle of A Quiet Place and tell him, you should type a story.
Yeah.
Tick-tack, tickety-tack.
Tick-tack. Oh, it's totally fine. Could you just write an article about the aliens? Tappity-tappity-tappity-tappity. Yeah, just do it over there, please. Just you know, kind of over there, maybe in that open field, next to the gongs.
Tappity-tappity-tappity-tappity-tappity-tappity-tappity-tappity-tappity.
I hope Hope doesn't listen to this one.
I'm sure she will. Just tell her we mentioned Jughead. She'll find it very interesting. So, yeah, no, I liked – so, yeah, one of the things I really liked was the lack of gore, the lack of, like, really kind of intense violence. Like, we don't really see – even Krasinski's character, we don't really see him get eviscerated.
No.
You mainly watch it from the kid's perspective.
Which is another lesson they've learned, in a way, probably, from Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And in the slasher films of the 80s, which were really sort of all based around recreating
moments
of death.
The Saw series.
Right, but just think about, like, about what we started with.
Yeah, it's all the spectacle.
The
spectacle of the violence, yeah.
Yeah, well, in this country, like, violence is a fetish.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. No.
I don't watch TV of any kind, so I wouldn't know.
One of the other things that I really liked about
the
film
guy that runs Trifocal Productions
is the actress that played the lead daughter, Millicent Simmons.
Yes,
is herself deaf.
Yes,
and apparently Krasinski insisted that role be played by an actual deaf individual. And so I really liked that they did that and didn't just have a hearing actor pretending to be deaf.
And she was
really good. Well, she was in something else pretty recently. Yeah, I read, like, Wonderstruck or something
She was really good. But after a while, I felt pretty bad for the older daughter. Because in many ways, all that goes bad for the family, it's kind of her fault.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. So she sort of kind of gets her younger brother hunted at the start.
Kind of.
Right? She hands him...
In her defense,
yes,
he's the one that took the batteries.
No, that's true. I want to come back to that in just a minute. But she did create the possibility. There's a reason why she feels guilty.
Yeah, I mean, if she handed him a loaded gun and he shot himself, it's still kind of her fault.
Then her dad would have lived had she not turned off her hearing aid in the middle of the attack.
Yeah, that's true.
So she's kind of at fault for her dad's death, too. So by the time you're done, her body count is almost the same as the ear monsters.
Well.
Because they got the two old guys, but we haven't seen them kill many others.
Well, but they also got the – I mean, you got to give them at least half points for the father and the other son. Like, they do eviscerate them.
Okay, fair enough. So they get, like – it's like a 3-1.5.
If they weren't involved, they would also live.
I mean, she didn't actually eviscerate them.
No, nonetheless.
Well, we don't know
You do feel a little bad for her by the end because you're like, man, if she just would have figured stuff out a little quicker, could
have
been better.
Yeah, it does take her – I mean, she is young, so I'll give her that. But it does take a little bit longer than I thought for her to figure out, like, your hearing aid seems to be bothering the aliens.
Yeah.
There's a reason why when they get near you, they're like all, ow.
Yeah.
And then they go away.
And then they leave.
Yeah.
You think they don't have to happen once before you put them together.
So, I mean, I can kind of understand her not figuring out, which actually leads to kind of a question I had.
Oh, okay. I was saying, I did have one more thing that that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Was when the middle kid was running through the cornfield and just plows right into the tractor.
Yeah.
Because it reminded me of the scene in the trailer of It where the kid's running and just takes the header on the sawhorse. And I was like, I don't know. I just find that funny.
In the movie, in his defense, it's dark.
Yes.
He's running through corn.
Oh, yeah.
And he's panicked.
Yeah. There's running noisily through corn.
Yeah. A bad choice.
Bad choice. And yet the monsters don't find him.
No. Yeah. Corn is a bad thing to run through.
One of the moments where I was like, I'm not sure the story's world is quite making sense.
But when the meteorites came.
Yes.
Why didn't the government just make a lot of noise somewhere and draw all of the creatures there and then, you know.
Blow them up.
Yeah, the movie does not really speak well for the American and military industrial complex.
It would seem as if the military industrial somehow complex utterly failed us.
We're a good because we're on what day?
We 400? Can kill anything unless it's from space.
We're on day 407, so we're a good year into this.
Yeah,
and it's like nobody noticed that the creatures were giving off some kind of like audio interference and feedback that nobody noticed that until.
Yeah, until the ear implant.
Like, it really seems a problem. I'm like, nobody. Wow, that is not speaking.
There's all the newspaper headlines.
Which
makes
it a Quaker film because it's very pacifist in that they didn't blow all the aliens up.
I suppose so.
So there's your Quaker film.
Question: Are the aliens armored to the point where like bullets don't affect them?
Yes, they are armored. Because basically
when their faces open,
when they're
up,
trying to hear their heads open, and you get the inside. But when you see when they're listening and trying to hunt, like their head kind of unfolds.
But otherwise,
they're because that's part of how they're designed is that they are completely covered with armor from head to toe.
But the point being, if you made a lot of noise in the middle of the desert, if you played
heavy metal CD, wouldn't that bother them enough to open their heads?
Yes.
Well, that's when right, and then you could have then.
Well, but yet
you could have. Yeah, no, it does not speak well.
Them into a trap and destroyed them all.
Oh, but yet nukes. Like, I'm not saying it's a good idea, but I'm shocked no one tried that, you know?
Yeah, no, it's
kind of my point, Rich.
Yeah.
But thank you for reinforcing it.
The only thing I can guess is that the aliens came and wiped people out so quickly.
But there's newspaper headlines like,
that they
be
did,
quiet.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, so they did figure out.
So quickly they were able to print newspapers.
Right, they were able to do this, but the military.
Yeah, the military.
Was
unable not.
The newspaper. The military doesn't read newspapers. That's why they didn't have anything able to do.
No, just the military, leading scientists, scholars.
The government.
Leaders.
Everybody with a gun in America.
It is a little bit like, it does not speak well of us as a nation.
Also, though. They were that advanced to wipe everything out, but they don't know to just destroy random buildings just in case somebody's in there.
Well, they don't really destroy it. They're not.
No, they're
not
just out to.
They're not like big giant aliens.
What I'm saying is that, like, they're clearly like kind of hunting people. So when they just take out any structure
they can't see.
They don't have to see. They're clearly blind.
Why would they want to destroy structures?
Because people might be in there. I mean,
I'm not sure they have that high of a level of intellect. I think they go mainly.
Really, they can travel across space, but
they're inside meteorites.
They're wild creatures.
I think I read somewhere that like their planet that they lived on exploded,
and they
so
didn't
they're
die.
Kind of like Superman in that way, a darker take on Superman,
like Moses, really.
Yeah, like a Moses Superman that you know.
How did they survive the trip to space?
An air monster that killed everything. And it made noise.
Let my people.
That's a pretty good one. So you know what? I knew this was going to be a good movie.
Justice and.
When I realized who produced this film,
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Produced by?
Oh, God.
Michael Bay.
Yes.
Really?
I knew it's part of Blumhouse. Yeah, I knew you were going to bring that.
Yep.
I saw that on the screen. I'm like, God, that's not the Michael Bay.
Michael Bay.
It's the other Michael Bay. Yeah. That's just riding
Can
on
you
his coattails.
Imagine being like the other Michael Bay. Like, you're Michael Bay. No, not that one.
No. I'm the one that actually makes good movies.
Which actually pushed me down the rabbit hole of Michael Bay. Like, you know,
dangerous
he made music
place to
videos,
go.
Right?
Sake, you might want to rephrase.
Back
that.
In the '80s, he made Meatloaf MTV videos. Doesn't that make you love him a little bit more?
A little bit, because I do love the meatloaf.
Who doesn't love the meatloaf? I'm a vegan and I love meatloaf.
I love meatloaf.
Can we get meatloaf on this show?
Ooh,
no.
I think there's a
absolutely
chance.
Not.
I don't think you're going to want meatloaf on the show.
Why not?
Oh, he's a big Trump guy.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's,
are you
he's,
really that shocked? Look at him.
How about Wilson Phillips?
I don't know what their political leanings are.
Donny Osmond? No, we don't want Donny Osmond.
What are you doing?
And the Divinals. These are all groups that he made videos for.
You mean the Divinals?
The Divinals.
Divinals.
No, no, no. Not the Divinals. It's a knockoff. It's a knockoff band.
Yeah. They're the ones that did the song I Touched Myself, which is a great song.
Yeah, very edgy for the 80s.
That was very edgy. They filmed it in the convent.
Oh, my God. What do ladies do next?
I don't know. Want jobs?
Vote?
Wear pants?
Shoulder pads?
Drive cars?
By the way, Michael Bay also won the Grand Prix Clio for Commercial of the Year for his Got Milk Aaron Burr.
Yeah, commercial. I know that. Jesus. I know.
Wow, you did go down the Michael Bay rabbit hole. I'm surprised it's taken you this long to go down.
Here's the question.
He also won the Gold Lion for the Best Beer campaign for a Miller Lite ad.
Oh, is he Spuds McKenzie?
I don't know what he did. It doesn't say which one he did.
Well, how does it not say which one he did?
The guy has done some serious work.
Yeah, because I looked at, because between Platinum Dunes, which is the company that he's a part of, and Blumhouse, which he's worked with on several films, they basically account for Quiet Place.
Yeah.
They account for Get Out.
Yeah.
And they account for the Purge series. They're basically behind kind of the resurgence of, like, low budget, but not in terms of quality. Low budget horror films that are kind of a bit more social commentary or things like that.
So you would have to admit that Michael Bay has produced some very smart, edgy, artistic, aesthetically pleasing films.
I would have to admit that Michael Bay is part of a group who produced. And I can only
I will take that. You cannot assume anything.
That the
sir.
Rest of the group basically said, yeah, no, Michael, we're not putting a giant racist robot in this one.
Michael Bay is also producing the next Krasinski project. More on that in a minute.
Is that a quieter place? Because they are planning a sequel. I'm like, it's got to be a quieter place. Like, if you do not call it a quieter place,
well,
I'm very upset.
In a Cloverfield Lane kind of way, I could kind of see that working.
Did you see where actually they originally, this was going to be possibly a Cloverfield, a movie set in the Cloverfield universe? And the producers eventually decided not to go that direction. Because it would have required a pretty substantial rewrite to make it fit in. But yeah, originally there was apparently a time when this was potentially going to be part of the Cloverfield universe.
The first sequel was the John Goodman sequel.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is such a good film.
It looks terrible.
No, like it's very claustrophobic.
Oh, no, that was supposed to be really good. Yeah, that was the one that just debuted on Netflix.
Netflix.
I also said debuted.
I saw that.
And somebody said Divinals. Look out.
That's probably what
did the Divinals ever show up on Netflix?
Yeah.
They have a Netflix concert.
Are you kidding? They're the main stars.
Oh, God, you didn't even hear debuted, and I thought I was out of the woods.
By the way,
I went with Netflix.
Trademark on Netflix.
Yeah,
I feel like that might be the
hashtag
next.
#Netflix.
I'm already looking it up to make sure.
Okay, good. We want to make sure that the show copyrights
it. It should be Netplex, like Movieplex.
We'll work on it.
We'll get both.
We'll work on it, because the Pix-Plix kind of works,
too. Yeah, it does sort of work.
Netflix and chill.
So there was one thing I loved about this film.
Yes, what did you love?
The film tells parents it's okay to make bad decisions every once in a while, because there are some whoppers.
Well, there's one
really bad.
There's one really
decisions.
Big whopper.
Well, me. I think there's a couple. The space shuttle is a bad problem. Why would you leave it sitting there in front of a kid who's clearly a troublemaker and a rule breaker, and leave it with the battery sitting right next to it? So I know it's not directly the parents' fault,
right?
But it's kind of their
it's
fault.
Not, yeah,
like. Their daughter shouldn't feel guilty. They should feel guilty.
They should all feel, yeah.
Yeah, they should. They should.
There should be guilt everywhere.
Yeah, everybody failed except the kid who's sick.
Oh, number two, maybe getting pregnant.
Yeah, that's the big
one. In a world where you can't make noise or you die, that might be a bad idea.
That might be an irresponsible choice.
Yes.
Especially because they have, what, at that point, three kids already?
Well, they're down to two
at this point.
But I mean, when she got pregnant, I mean, she was.
No, she gets pregnant after the kid's dead.
Right, because the kid dies on day 89.
82, and then we – or 80-something, and then we jump to, like, day 472.
Oh, okay.
I
got to say, there's not a ton of time between kid died and new kid being conceived, I got to say.
Maybe it's a way of grieving.
Yeah, one article I read talked about, like –
not wise grieving.
They basically said it's either a completely irresponsible choice or, hope for the future.
Yeah.
Like, no, it is a fundamentally irresponsible choice.
If you want to – you have two kids – that could be the hope for the future.
Yeah,
maybe you should kind of lay off. Like,
yeah, I'm like,
focus on them, and
or,
then
you know
later,
what? You know
have
what?
Another one.
If you need to have the sex, maybe a condom.
Yeah,
you know.
Go to the store.
You know.
You get an old prescription.
Go to the store.
There's got to be some condoms lying around in that pharmacy, too.
A prequel to this movie should be called The Abstinent Place. Because I feel like these might be circumstances under which abstinence might be called for.
So question for you.
So, yeah, that was – yeah, I agree with that. That was like, why would you get pregnant?
Seems like a bad choice.
Yeah, it did.
So it's a question for the two of you. What's your worst parenting decision?
I have made none because I am not a parent.
I mean, I would have to be in the same boat. I guess we could pretend.
I don't want to be in that boat.
Can I be in a separate boat? You enrich in a child's boat.
No. The childless boat.
Ah.
We're the ones having fun.
You enrich
watching. We're the ones watching sci-fi movies on the boat.
I want my own boat.
Oh, too bad.
I
you
want a childless,
kids.
Richless boat.
Can I ask you a quick question about what might be my worst parenting decision? Except for the time I took Bobby trick-or-treating in the back mountain and he was corrupted.
But how would you know? Okay. You didn't know.
So I took him to the dentist. First time when we moved here. He was like 2 years old. And he was doing fine. And we got to the point where he had to wash his, you know, kind of rinse his mouth and then spit. So the hygienist says
I think you told me this.
Says like, rinse your mouth and spit. And then she goes over to fill out his chart.
You
so her back is turned.
Oh.
Bobby turns to the side of the chair and there's a bowl right there to spit in. But he just spits all over the wall.
You told me the story.
So now there's like Bobby's. And like, there was a lot of water. It's like, this, the wall is soaked. Now, as a parent, Rich, what am I supposed to do? A, tell the hygienist so they can clean it.
No.
Or B, quietly walk out hoping they never figure out what it was that rotted.
In that case, the hygienist was kind of like the monster that you were trying to very quietly sneak away
exactly.
from.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly what
if
I did.
If B
like,
had
I
any
not,
chance of success,
my
I would go B.
That'd be a good movie.
That's what you said as it's killing you. This would be a good movie.
Yeah, you know what that
was
called?
Could we get Trifocal Productions to...
You know what that's called? A hygienic place.
Man, where are the YouTube parodies of this movie?
Yeah, there totally should be YouTube parodies.
Anyway, I appreciated that they could say, it's okay, parents.
You're going to screw up.
Not to be perfect.
You're going to get your kids killed.
You're going to doom the future of humanity. Yeah.
One of the other things that I really liked.
Yes.
Is, because the whole time I'm watching the film, it very much sort of reminded me of an M. Night Shyamalan film.
Shyamalan-a-ding-dong?
Yes. I don't know why you would say that. That's kind of racist.
I don't think so. I think it's from, isn't it from The Office?
I don't know. I just say it all
I mean, even if it's from The Office, it can still
Oh, it's from you?
Yeah, it's from me. Shyamalan
I picked it up from
Dong.
You?
Yeah.
Then you're
you tell me it's racist.
Unbelievable. Like, he really calls me racist for parroting his racist.
Yeah, so now, because you tell me not to say it. I'm like, it's fine.
As an aside, even if The Office says it, it still could be racist.
So,
but it would be ironic.
But I thought there was one key difference.
Yes.
In that... Particularly like later M. Night Shyamalan films, they're very much about like him with the twist kind of proving how clever he was.
Right.
This is a – you know, if this was an M. Night Shyamalan film,
we
would not have found out that the aliens were giant ears until the very end. We would have seen like all the feedback and everything and be like, why are they upset?
Yeah.
And then they would be revealed as like giant ears at the very end to prove like, oh, how brilliant M. Night Shyamalan
is. Clever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a twist.
Just a twist.
And so I like the fact that it had very much kind of like a – it felt very much like Signs to me in terms of that movie. Like Signs or – it wasn't quite like Sixth Sense or Unbreakable in terms of a M. Night Shyamalan film. But it felt very M. Night Shyamalan-y.
Much
but
like with, Signs.
But without
aliens
kind
get inside
of
houses.
The way in which that they're sort of out to prove how clever M. Night Shyamalan is.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a more straightforward kind of film.
It played very fair with – like there wasn't – you know, there wasn't – I mean – there was sort of the twist at the end, but it was one that you could kind of see coming.
Yeah.
They played very fair with the audience.
To me, there was a fairness, but one of my criticisms of the film was that at times it was a little too obvious.
Oh, yeah. You could tell what's going to happen.
You could tell that it was coming. Yeah. And it just – so in a world overrun by these ear monsters.
Yes, the earlians.
The great coinkydink that's going to solve this problem is the hearing aid.
Yes.
A little pat.
Yeah, hearing aid that on this one go, not on all the adults with hearing aids or anyone. This one.
Well, this one had been modified by her father.
Yeah, her father
right?
had been jerry-rigging them.
So they're like
was
more
he a
than
scientist?
A year
was he an audio engineer?
He's apparently
obviously
an engineer.
Had some kind of electrical
He's obviously some kind of
engineering.
Background. She's obviously got some kind of medical background.
Right, and they live on a farm.
Yeah.
So it turns out they've got like a nice collection of skills.
Yeah, they got a lot of corn.
Yeah, too much corn almost.
Yeah, well,
I was thinking.
Too much corn, too much batteries.
What would be the worst kind of food to drown in?
Mm.
Pudding?
I'm thinking. Sorry, that was my thinking.
Lucky Charms?
No, that'd be awesome. You could eat
Lucky Charms
out.
Would be pretty awesome.
Oh, Kix.
No,
giant
no.
Silo full of Kix.
No, Frosted Flakes would be worse.
No, what's oh, the, those would be much more sharpened. Yeah.
Grape Nuts.
Oh, Grape Nuts would be a bad one,
yeah,
too.
That's yeah. Not
bad.
Yeah.
I do like Grape Nuts, however. A little brown sugar.
But no, gravel. But no, plain just Grape Nuts.
Yeah.
Like plain Grape yeah. Nuts, yeah.
What's so, that?
Just a thing of gravel.
Yeah, but that's not food.
No, that's no. Did you say food specifically? Oh,
he
you
did.
Say food
yeah,
specifically.
That's why we won't even foods.
It's okay. If you eat gravel, that's
like
cool.
Sand.
Olives. Olives would be bad.
Not Kalamata olives.
I hate olives, so I couldn't eat my way out. I'd have to.
Oh,
die.
Okay. No. It's like you know peanut butter or something, but like you're allergic, so it's just like oh god.
My peanut allergy. Oh, you know what? Big thing of gluten.
Yeah. Big. just got a giant silo of gluten.
We've just lost the gluten-free audience, so.
No, I just said that would be the worst thing. It's sympathetic to the glutens.
To the glutens? What, are they an alien race now?
Also, I got to say, the way in which the clues are laid out in the film sometimes, like the nail, for example,
mm-hmm.
A little too in your face.
Well, also, I'm like...
We could... It could be done much more subtly, I think.
Yeah. Also, when you are walking up the stairs...
Yes.
And your bag gets caught on the giant nail...
Yes.
That you see it get caught on the giant nail...
Yes.
I might do something about said giant nail rather than just leaving it. There was a very, in fact, like the very long, like shot of the nail.
Yeah,
was all I could think was like, oh, Chekhov's nail. Because when you have a nail like that, clearly yeah. That's going to come like somebody right. Stepping on that thing.
That yeah. Was not really the most sophisticated moment
or subtle
of the film. Right,
it was not
had the bag just snagged momentarily and she pulled it and yes. It hadn't focused on it.
Yeah.
Kind of setting it up in a
well,
maybe
you just,
that works,
yeah.
But like,
well, you could have just
it
heard
felt
the nail
like it felt
fall,
like a 10 minute.
It was a very
like,
long shot
so
on the nail.
Wait,
I'm like,
right,
yeah, no, just, I know the nail's there.
Yeah,
yeah. Thanks
I,
for we
I
established
wonder who's
the presence.
Going to
and then
Chum
One pops
like,
off.
Someone's
hey,
going to
pay attention to this.
Nail.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so. There are moments where Krasinski could maybe grow a little bit further.
So I've got a question,
but it was not too much.
We've already talked about the bad idea of the pregnancy.
Yeah.
How do you go to the bathroom in this world? Because you can't flush the toilet.
Don't ask questions.
You don't live in a world where you flush toilets.
What do you mean? Well, then where do they poop?
I
mean,
have pooping you not
in a river somewhere, I suppose.
But well, the river's unsafe. That's where the dad takes the son. It's like, oh no, the other people can't go. River unsafe. Plus, that's where they get their fish. Do you really want to poop in the fish river?
Well, you poop downstream and you fish upstream.
Yeah, okay.
Well, also you could just
like
in, you could also just
Jamestown
poop in the dirt.
Okay, I'm not.
You know?
I'm not a.
You could also just not poop in the river.
Just make
and
sure
poop
you
in the
poop
dirt.
Quietly.
Well, that's
which
the
another reason to poop in the river, really. That
where's that deleted scene?
Sound you have ever made on this podcast.
Really? Which
yeah.
One? The
no, straining.
The combination of the two did not help.
Yeah, not good.
Oh, I should have had more roughage.
Why did I eat so much corn?
Well, there were a couple more things I really loved.
But you know
about
one of the things they don't have to worry about?
What's that?
The great corn syrup droughts.
No, they don't. This is a very different kind of dystopia.
No, this is why it happened. The farmers can't work the land.
Show. We did a show on Ready Player One.
Oh!
Well, that's what we did last week. Or the week before.
For
before,
the viewers
yeah,
at home.
Like, we're like four shows
when's
behind.
When's the last time a podcast actually showed up?
Why are we even doing new shows?
For the summer,
we
I guess,
take
at this
the
point.
Month off.
Oh.
This could come in. This will probably be in the fall.
So this is a little thing behind the scenes of folks know. We don't even know what shows we do anymore.
We got like, well, I have a list in the office.
We just do shows and they just go into the ether.
There were a couple things let me say I really loved about this movie.
Okay.
Number one, Emily Blunt.
Yes.
She's pretty badass in this
Can
movie.
I just say I did like the end, the way in which the end,
oh, the end was
kind of made.
Awesome.
I've got a, that's one of my favorite fouls. Maybe I'll go to that in a second. But the way that at the end you kind of realize, oh, wait a minute. It's the mother and the daughter. They're going to go kick some butt.
Yeah.
Like that. So it kind of had a cool, like, oh, that's pretty awesome.
They share that look, and then she cocks
and
that
then,
shot, and you're just like, oh, yeah.
So actually that leads into my fair foul for one of these.
Yes. So she, and by the way, throughout the film, she's pretty brilliant, I think.
Oh, yeah. Emily. Well, yeah.
Ways.
Emily.
Yeah.
So this she's is great. Graham Resnick, who's a Hollywood sound designer and musician.
I glanced through that. Yeah.
So he talked about the film. He says, quote, the movie ends on a hell yeah shotgun cock moment.
Yeah.
Rather than take a more thoughtful approach for a final beat.
Yeah.
Shotgun cock, audience cheers, everyone goes home happy, everyone forgets the movie the next day, hashtag frown emoji.
I don't think that's true.
I kind of agree with that.
Because you don't know they kick ass, actually.
Yeah.
You don't know what's coming. Like, there's a lot of those earwigs coming.
There's three. Well, there's two because they've killed one. One of the signs says that there's three in the area. So there's two coming to the
house. Right, so they're coming, right? Like, you don't know they're going to even survive that.
Well, but the daughter's going to put the hearing aid against the speaker.
I understand the plan, but what if it goes wrong?
How could that go
wrong?
It's
Hollywood.
And then what happens? There must be aliens otherwhere, right? Because they can't talk.
Otherwhere?
Otherwhere. That's what I
elsewhere
said.
Elsewhere or other places?
On Netflix is where I was thinking we might find them.
Otherwhere.
That's where Netflix. The sequels where they lose will be on Netflix.
So
that's why it's
being,
a quieter place. There's less people.
There are lots of aliens. They must be worldwide, right?
Yeah.
So even if you kill the two.
That's a Shyamalan twist, is it's not worldwide. It's just these three.
But they've tried to communicate with the rest of the world.
Yeah,
the
there's
AM
no
radio.
One. Yeah, clearly
yeah, but
there,
it's like
there are clearly. It's hard to tell like how many aliens it takes to wipe out a civilization.
Right.
It's like how many licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah. Okay. And then we've talked a little bit about the silence of the film, but it functions so nicely to set up the drama and the suspense. So I have a question for you, because this is the mashup.
Yes.
It feels like the thing
it's aesthetically even more mashed up.
Yeah. So what we clearly have to mash something up here, and it has to be The Office, because Jim and Pam have that iPod moment.
Well, everyone's
Office.
Pointed out that's actually a reference to The Office
right.
in the film.
Right. And the mother and father have an iPod moment
yes.
in the movie. So here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
Put Jim and Pam in The Office in this earwiggy world, this world of horror.
The Earlians.
Who survives and who doesn't?
No Dwight. One.
Well, obviously.
There's no way Dwight survives.
Well, number one.
He's too busy telling everybody what to do.
But Dwight owns a farm, so it's clearly Dwight's farm.
Well, it could be, but he's not going to survive.
Oh, no, he's
on
dead,
that farm.
But they all went out to his farm.
Because he knows so much, because he's like an assistant sheriff deputy or volunteer.
Volunteer, yeah he's got, a volunteer.
Like, so there's no way. You know, the guy that totally survives? Stanley. He's so quiet.
That's true. Yeah,
he's
Stanley
very,
is relatively quiet.
Quiet. You know, if he can get enough crossword puzzles at the drugstore, he's good.
Creed's relatively quiet.
I said Creed. He's a survivalist, too.
Yeah.
Like, there's something about him that says, like, he could go into the wild. So I had Stanley in.
Okay.
And I had Creed in.
Okay.
I thought Angela would make it, too. Because she has a steely discipline. She doesn't talk a lot. She's pretty quiet.
That's true. Yeah.
On the other hand, the person who had no chance.
Scott?
Well, I was going to say Kelly Kapoor.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, she is immediately.
Oh, no, because who's the guy that she's in love with?
Ryan?
Ryan, yes. Because Ryan is going to, like, surround her with a whole bunch of, like, pots and pans and start banging on them.
But see, I think Ryan goes early because he's just a temp.
Yeah.
Right, so he doesn't make it.
Yeah.
I think Kelly had no chance. And I had Michael on the no shot.
Yeah, there's no chance. Yeah, no, Michael would try to reason with the Earlians by talking to them.
No, or that, or he would stay in the office.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Or he would waffle iron his foot.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that would not go well. How many Earlians do you think it would take to wipe out Scranton?
Half?
Well, okay, so three Earlians have taken out kind of a rural...
Apparently wherever we are, yeah.
...place, like a small town area. Probably three.
Okay.
It just seems like the first 50% are going to be pretty easy. Nobody's going to figure out what's wrong. People are going to be running around screaming. They're going to be honking their horns.
Yes.
That's
one of the things when the kid got in the truck, I was like, I really hope they disconnected the horn because otherwise they're stupid.
Yeah.
Like, if they did not disconnect that horn, those parents are stupid.
Did you like the moment where the dad sacrifices himself? Did you find it a heartfelt moment?
Not as much as I – that was one of my critiques of the film.
Yeah.
Is that particularly the whole relationship between the dad and the daughter and the tension going on there.
Yeah.
I don't know that it entirely made sense. Like, there's that scene early on where Emily Blunt's mom sends her to get him for dinner and she's like – she clearly has like, I don't want to
– Wait, Emily Blunt's mom?
The mom she plays.
Oh, got it. All right. I thought Emily Blunt's mother was –
No, the mom that Emily Blunt plays.
Excuse me.
And she clearly has an I don't want to look on her. It's like, oh, is this like a chore that she's tired of? And then there was where's the other scene? Oh, and then it seemed like she might be mad at him because, you know, he's constantly trying to fix her with the hearing aid.
Right.
And then it seemed like, oh, is she mad at him because he keeps taking the boy out
or he keeps
and not her?
To fix
and,
the hearing
and there's
aid.
Kind of gender.
Yeah.
Kind of dynamics there, and basically ends up being sort of you know, her feeling blame for the brother's death. But there just seemed like there was a lot that seemed to be possible motivations. And maybe it was one of the limitations of not having dialogue.
But maybe.
But there was, I just, like, I didn't feel, like, in the end, I was like, oh, so it's clearly about he's sacrificing himself to show that he still loves her.
His inability to communicate his love to his daughter in this post-apocalypse.
But it seemed like there was a lot of other stuff kind of over-determining their relationship. So I didn't quite feel that as much.
The only response I would have to that is that the silence creates a kind of ambiguity.
Yeah.
That can be good as well as bad.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I think.
Well, and that was the other thing, too, is like.
Sorting that was
difficult. The middle son.
Yeah.
Like, he's scared to death to leave the farm for, like, that one scene, and then he just kind of gets over it.
Well, he has to. His mom's giving birth, and he's got to set off the fireworks.
And I'm like, yeah, okay. So he seemed like that. Again, there were a couple things that felt a little bit undercooked for me. Not that took away from the film, but there were just some things I was like, they seem to be struggling a little bit with.
Yeah. So did you see Krasinski's got a new film greenlit now at this point?
It's called Greenlit?
No, it's been greenlit.
Oh, okay.
That means.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure whatever film he wants to do next, he's going to get to do.
Life on Mars.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that.
Yeah. This is what he's going to work on. Like, it's going to be produced by
Michael Bay.
You in? Like, has Krasinski proven his directing chops to you?
Well, what is
enough that you're like, I'm going to go see the film because he directed it?
Is it a home movie?
It's science fiction.
Science fiction. Yeah, no, I've seen, like, news about casting.
People living on Mars.
I mean, I don't know. It depends a good deal.
I got to see the trailer.
So he's not a director yet that you're like, that's a must-see director.
No. He's done, his first kind of stab, I think, was successful. He created a pretty good film.
Yeah.
But you know, so it's a film that, when he first
it is a film that does have a bit of a gimmick to it.
Right.
So, you know, I'd like to see him do something, you know, sort of maybe more straightforward, traditional.
Yeah.
But it's a solid start.
I could see that. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. So, but there's nothing to say that I wouldn't go see it because it's directed by Krasinski.
Yeah, that's another way to phrase the question, I guess.
So
he hasn't alienated you to the point where you're unwilling to see a future.
No.
I mean, also,
I've always liked John Krasinski. He's put together a nice kind of post office career for himself.
Yeah. And on The Office, I guess he was supposed to be the really lovable kind.
Yeah. So
that last season he gets a little iffy.
I look forward to whatever he does next, hopefully being good. But this was a good, solid start.
It could.
To a directing career.
Fair enough.
He's also got an awesome beard. Like, I really want a John Krasinski beard, but I don't think I can grow that kind of a beard.
Why not?
I don't know. He's got a good thickness to it.
You have to let it grow.
I know.
Quit shaving it.
Yeah, but then it gets all raggly.
You got to take care of it. He clearly grooms.
Yeah, well, he's probably got professional groomers.
It's a fair point.
I mean,
he gets up and there's just like a beard.
Yeah, why do we not have
house?
A team taking care of us for this show?
That's a strange thing.
Yeah.
Shouldn't
that be part of the comm major, like make it their work studies?
Right, that they need, like, there's...
Like, we need
personal
assistance.
There should be a green room with, for example, treats
based
and snacks.
On, say, Colin's ability to show up.
Well, I'd get somebody better than Colin.
Well, I think we have to expand beyond Colin. Like, this is not a one-person job. Like, taking care of our physical appearance, that is not a one-person job.
I would think we need
taking care of your
apiece,
physical
right?
appearance is about a 5 to 6-man team.
Wow, I'm glad he said to you and not to me.
Yeah.
Well, yours are 10-12.
This doesn't just
happen.
Right. It's not like I just roll out of bed like this.
That doesn't
just
happen.
By the way, I like the guy that's missing a tooth complaining about our physical appearance.
You guys look ridiculous.
Yeah, you guys are ugly.
I've been missing a tooth for 6 months.
Look at me. I can whistle through it.
That's just my poor health coverage.
Yeah, it's just your poor health.
You know, Trifocal Productions ought to give you a better plan. You should complain to management.
Yeah,
they do have a plan.
Should have
called,
one.
Don't replace the tooth. It's called suck it up.
Yeah, the no tooth replacement plan.
How sad is that? Rich's own company would not provide Rich the health care. They're like,
for
yeah,
a
no,
tooth
we're,
replacement.
We are denying your claim. Yeah. He just looks at himself in the mirror.
Staff meetings are very disappointing.
Yeah.
Oh, now there's an independent film. It's just Rich in a room talking to himself.
No, me in a room with like several mirrors.
And maybe Uncle Yo stops by.
Yeah.
So here's a fair or foul for you.
Okay. Oh, kind of
digging into Krasinski's work.
Dig.
This is from AV Club. Krasinski's
The Onion.
Affable nature fit the positive reception to his new film. A Quiet Place, grade B-, is an entertaining and crowd-pleasing monster movie. One that leaves you wanting more.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get over wondering what a subtler and more accomplished director might have done this have done with this material, it's not hard to let yourself be won over by its charms. So essentially, it's charming once you get past the idea that a director who was more subtle and accomplished might have actually done something.
Yeah, no, that I read another the interview with Graham Resnick.
Yeah.
The sound designer guy. There was a lot of like, well, this is what I would have done. And, you know, the film's good enough on its own. But I would – yeah, I'm going to say Fowl just because, you know, he's a first-time director. Like,
and he gets a kind of attention the directors almost never do when we talk about films.
Yeah.
Which I guess is the double-edged sword of his fame.
Well, I feel like there's –
that he can't direct without people talking about it.
Yeah. Well, but I also feel like – I think there's a certain amount of that in terms of Get Out as well. I can imagine there's a bit of – because you do have with Get Out, with A Quiet Place, you do have in some ways people outside the Hollywood establishment making low-budget but very crowd-pleasing films.
Right.
Whereas a lot of Hollywood staffs are making very big-budget colossal failures.
Ouch.
I think there's a little bit of resentment. Because
he makes successes.
A quote from our good friend Scott Mendelson of Forbes.
Of whores?
Forbes.
Oh, Forbes.
I said Fords.
Forbes is a very different magazine, read, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. You would know you subscribed to it.
Largely the same audience, though.
well, you could spank somebody with a magazine.
So kind of talking about...
no, nobody's going to...
Yeah,
I'm
not going to touch that one.
Spanking?
Kind of comparing these movies to big Hollywood blockbuster event movies. Okay. If audiences now only go to movies for events, the key is offering something that qualifies as an event for at least one demographic. It may be Girls Trip, which you talked about, like for African American women.
Yeah.
It may be Baby Driver. It may be The Greatest Showman or Black Panther, Wonder Woman, Get Out, Split, or even Jumanji.
Yeah.
Which, IP or not, offered can't get this anywhere else cinematic experiences.
Hmm.
So basically the idea is that people go to a movie for events, and so if you want your movie to be successful, it needs to be an event, particularly an event that appeals to one demographic.
Was Get Out an event?
Like, yeah, I don't really see how that was an event.
They're looking at it retrospectively as an event. It wasn't an event going in.
Right.
It became an event after it was successful.
Yeah,
which means you kind of need
to
have the film first, which generates the event, because The Greatest Showman could have been just another musical. Like, that's not an event.
No.
But
it's clearly something
that
resonated with audience. And and events are in quotes, I should say.
Well, then I should say, duh. You mean you need to make a film people want to go see?
Well, he's arguing you need to make a film that at least one particular demographic. So, like, Girls Trip and
Black
Panther.
You need some sort of demographic to like your movie.
Wonder Woman is appealing to women.
So you've undermined the argument with the three examples – or the two examples you gave of the superhero films.
Right.
So Wonder Woman is only appealing to women?
Yeah, no guy liked it.
No. It touches on a bunch of demographics, like nerdy middle-aged men.
Right, but he's saying that your film has to resonate with at least one.
Yeah, again.
Yeah,
that's,
so you need –
because he's talking about like –
you need some demographic
really
to like your movie.
It's just kind of like
– duh.
Duh. Yeah. I mean, we don't want to think that films are made in like a laboratory where it's just like a demographic formula. But of course, films that kind of connect to people are going to be films that connect with
underserved audiences.
Yeah,
like
again,
there's
a reason. Yeah,
Girls
Get Out was
Trip,
a good example.
Black Panther, Wonder Woman, obviously are all ones that resonated with underserved demographics.
I mean, there's a reason Wonder Woman's one of the best DC ones, you know?
Right. Well, that's a low bar.
But
it's
not the only reason.
No, oh no.
I mean, Wonder Woman isn't great only because it appealed to women.
No, it's just great.
Right. So I'm having trouble digging into this because I think I'm missing something. It sounds too obvious.
It is somewhat. Well, he's also trying to make an argument about kind of because the complaint about Hollywood for a while is that it's just all recycled ideas and sequels and things like that.
It is.
And he's pointed any number of films like Get Out, Baby Driver, Greatest Showman, and A Quiet Place that he argues that audiences are starting to resonate with original products. Because I guess Bay, you know, what is it, Platinum Dunes and Blumhouse.
Yeah.
I guess they recently said, because they were thinking of like doing remakes of other horror films.
Yeah.
They've decided to completely chuck that, and they're only going to do original things, except like Get Out 2.
Right. I like that
or
idea.
A Quieter Place.
That makes sense
so
to me.
So it's basically arguing that, that whether or not you have, whether your movie's successful doesn't depend on whether it's part of some established intellectual property or not.
Right.
It's about whether or not it's resonating with a particular demographic as an event for that demographic.
Okay, well, I think that you can make films either way then. Now, you can make big blockbustery films that will draw an audience, and you can
like Avengers Infinity War.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
Yeah.
Or you can make the offbeat, unique kinds of films that resonate too.
Yeah.
That's quite insightful.
Mm-hmm.
You really hit out of the park with that one.
Scott Mendelson.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Of Forbes.
Not whores.
No.
Well, you don't know. He could have other magazine writing duties.
That's a fair point. How about this one?
Okay.
From the New Republic. This is a movie about the sound of fear, but it gives us a great deal more to listen to.
The hills are alive
with the sound of fear. We could that would be a pretty good mashup.
Yeah. A Quiet Place 2, The Sound of Fear.
That's right.
Starring, who is the actress in Sound of Music?
What's her name?
Julie
Andrews.
Yes.
So how about, how about...
Though if it's singing in the movie, it's going to last all like 10 minutes before they're killed.
An ear, the alien's an ear.
I was thinking, I am 16 going on ear monster meat. Yeah,
like, no, that's the whole movie. It's like 5 minutes in, everyone's dead.
Every song you get.
Stop singing. Stop singing.
It's terrible and yet kind of true.
Again, the show is award eligible.
That's right. gives us a great deal more to listen to. Is there a great deal more to listen to? Do you ever answer that question?
What?
I read you a quote that you started talking about The Sound of Music.
I did, yes. I might have.
This is a movie about the sound of fear.
Okay.
But it gives us a great deal more to listen to.
Yeah, that I... Not sure that really says anything.
But it sounds smart, though.
It does.
It's the kind of phrase you want tagged in a review somewhere.
It does. I'm not sure it really says anything of substance, though.
So foul.
Yeah.
Okay.
In that, you know, it feels a little,
Okay.
Not really sure there's a lot of depth to that comment.
All right. Anything else? We got a minute.
No, I'm good. You got anything else? Sorry, that's all I got.
Yeah, that was...
Ooh, who would win in a fight, Jason or the Earlians?
Well,
because Jason's pretty quiet.
Jason's a very quiet dude.
Jason also can't die. I'm sorry, it's a thing that happens. He can't die.
What about
so he'd
thank
win.
You, Friday the 13th continuity police?
How do you think Freddy would stand up in a fight like that?
Oh, he's
talker. Do they dream though? What if it's in their dreams? Do Earlians dream?
Well, why wouldn't they?
What do they dream? Why would they?
Well, I know what they dream of.
What?
Earmuffs.
No. With earmuffs, they'd be completely powerless in the world.
Or they... But look, think of an Earlian.
No, they
big...
dream of, like, the Pierce Hawthorne amplifier.
Oh.
So they can hear even more. Community reference.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Also a reference to a previous podcast.
Mm-hmm. Well, you wouldn't know that you would know.
You would know about because
I'm sure it'll be coming out.
It would actually
like
have to
weeks.
Be released. So I want to be clear as we sign off. We literally are doing this podcast.
Yes.
On the heels of A Quiet Place, just having shown up in theaters.
Yes.
Right. It so this
a,
is
yes.
a contemporaneous discussion
of A Quiet Place.
So
that
if
you will probably listen to in about a month
when you listen to this, if all of a sudden something we said sounds outdated or it's been said too often.
Yes.
None of that was true when we said it originally.
Yes. Also keep that in mind when our discussion of Stranger Things 2 from October finally drops.
That one really,
I'm pretty sure we wished everyone a happy Thanksgiving at the end of that.
Yeah. That, well, that'll be a good summer episode.
That was not our that is not going to be the timeliest of episodes.
No. So hopefully, Rich.
Yeah.
This one will, because Community, we could wait on.
Why are you giving me the look? Like, I don't know.
This should come before Community. Now,
but we also have Jessica Jones and Ready Player One waiting to drop.
Wait, those are both, they were contemporary.
They were contemporary, yes. We are perhaps a touch behind.
It's almost like the show would be better if we just did old stuff, because then it would never feel outdated.
That's, well, except for the old stuff.
But it wouldn't be outdated.
No, it would be, no.
And we're out.
Today, The Cosby Show.
Oh, yeah, that, wow, I'm so glad you stopped taping at that point.
I didn't stop taping.
Oh, geez.
Excellent. No, well, Okay, family ties.
Can we end on today, the Cosby?